Good morning, or should I say good afternoon? It's Thursday, January 11th. How are you all beautiful people doing in the podcast and to the people over listening in YouTube? Today we're talking about the $3 massage, a one-way ticket, and the need to prove. I believe all givers, if you are a giver, you need to be getting a massage. You need to be getting a massage, not from someone who you know. You need to pay for a massage. This is, and you're going to understand this, okay? And by the way, can you believe it's January 11th? We're 11 days into the year already. How crazy is that? January 11th. And right now when I'm recording this, it is 11 o'clock. So we are right at 11:11. If you guys know the tattoo I have on my hand. Givers need massages. I lived in Asia for 2 years almost. But I lived in Thailand and Vietnam for a little bit, but I spent most of my time in Bali. And I was there for 1 year and about 8 months. And the time that I was there, I got, at the lowest, I got one massage a day. But my average was probably like 1.3 massages a day. Because most days I would just get two massages. Because there you can get massages for $3, for $5, for $7, $10, depends where you go. And if I had a lot of work to do, then I would just edit the vlog or a video and just get a foot massage for an hour. Why not? And can you believe that there's places that exist in the world where you can get a $4 massage? Like, if you've only been in your world, this is one of the beautiful things of traveling. If you've only been in your world, that might sound really crazy. But there's places where you can go and be taken care of for a lot less than what you struggle to take care of yourself at where you are right now. And why do givers need massages? This is the whole point of this. Because if you're a giver, this first part of today's podcast is for my givers out there. I know a lot of givers watch what I do because you give so much that when you're here listening to the podcast or even here on the YouTube channel, you're receiving here. And givers need to be in places where they can be isolated and only receive. This whole thought came to me because I talked to a friend of mine and they're currently visiting Thailand, and I was like, have you got a massage yet? You've been there for like 7 days. And they're like, no, not yet. I was like, I would prescribe you a massage. And they're like, yeah, but I don't. I'm like, no. The whole time that you're back at home, all you do is give. And some of you all here, all you do is give. You give, 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 give. And even when you receive something, your brain is already thinking, and you guys know what I'm talking about. Your brain is already thinking, how can I give back? You're already thinking that. You're already thinking, like, if someone gives me a gift, like, when I get the gift in my hand, my heart sinks and leaps for joy at the exact same time. My heart sinks because it's like, oh, I didn't get them anything yet. And it leaps for joy of like, I'm so glad that I was thought of. It's such a great feeling. But when you're getting a massage, you only can receive. You know, you can think, like, you know, when I get a back massage, I'm going to scroll. No, you don't. You just receive. And for givers who are giving, people who are giving all the time, just being able to relax and receive is one of the greatest gifts that we can give ourselves. And if we can consistently put ourselves in situations where we can receive, it's a beautiful balance. If not, we just give, 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 and we find ourselves tired. Givers are usually really tired because they don't really know how to receive. We don't know how to receive very well, although I am a work in progress. We don't know how to receive very well because even in the receivership, we're already thinking of how we can give. And one of the things I tell people is just to spoil yourself as often as you can, to put yourself in a place where you're receiving, not because you need it, but because you deserve it. And givers, we often find ourselves in a place of, no, we don't deserve it. And that becomes our fuel to push us forward. We don't deserve it yet. We don't deserve the rest yet. We don't deserve the nap yet. We don't deserve to have a day off yet. And it's the punishment we do, and we consistently do it. You know, I read a quote today. It went something along the lines of, consistency is one of the greatest forms of self-love, or the ultimate forms of self-destruction. Sit on that for a minute. So it doesn't have to be a $3 massage. We all can't just take up and pack up our stuff and go to Thailand or, you know, where other places. You go to Cambodia, get $2 massages, or go to Bali and get $5. We all can't do that. But there's something that we can do where we can just be in the receiver mode. Because that balance is so important. And I know if you're a giver, you'll never be quite at a place, and you probably won't even feel great just being in a place where you receive all the time. But if you can remember to give, and take a moment to receive, little angels will come into your life and give you something, that those little moments can fuel you. You know, here in Mexico, they have something called posadas, and this happens at Christmas time. It's a week of really just festivals. And basically, in a village, you go from one house one night, and then the next night, it's based around their religion, I think Catholics here, and they take the saint to the next person's house the next night. So you have a whole village that starts at one person's house, and then they go to the next house, and then you, on the way to the next house, the people who are already at that house meet you halfway, you exchange the saint, and you carry it to that house, and you repeat that process for 7 days. And the families who host it have to basically feed the village. We actually took part in this year, and we hosted one. Probably one of the most memorable times that I've had so far here in Mexico. Because as I hosted this posada, it required a lot of giving, a lot of energy, money, time. I had to ask a lot of people for help. We had about 20 people who came to the house and helped us, from decorations to cooking the food to making the drinks, and so many other things. And one of the things that I took real high responsibility in, and people on my TikTok helped me out, and you guys who give and support me, all of you guys who give PayPal donations, Cash App donations, you guys played a role in it so much as well, is we were able to buy candy and treats for all the kids who came. Because there were hundreds of kids. Well, not there weren't hundreds of kids. There was probably about 75 kids, at least. So we bought about 40 pounds of candy. 40 pounds, because there's piñatas here. You know, it's not like the States where everyone sues everyone for piñatas, you know, for accidents that happen. But there's piñatas here. And we had about 6 piñatas full of candy. And after that, just boxes of candy that we passed out. And I threw out candy to people. If you go on my TikTok, you can watch so many videos of it, like crazy. Kids loved it. People loved it. And it was one of the most memorable moments that I have. And we had so much candy left over that for the next 4 nights, I took a book bag full of candy and threw it out at the other people's parties, because they only had one piñata and the kids want the piñata. I mean, want the candy. And not only the kids, the adults, the old people, the young, everyone wanted some candy. And like, why not put a smile on their face while we can? And I must have threw out 24 pounds of candy. I think, no, 24 kilos, which is about 48 pounds of candy I threw out. And on the last day that I threw out the candy, a little cutie, a little girl, just walked up to me. I don't know how old she was, maybe 11 or 12. And she handed me a lollipop. Now, up until this point, I threw out about 42 pounds of candy at this moment in time. Hadn't received a piece of candy. They gave me a lollipop. I'll never forget. And if you guys are watching the on YouTube, they gave me a lollipop. Something like this. Wasn't exactly like this, but it was something just like this lollipop. I'm holding up a green lollipop. This is actually one of the ones that I bought. I had extra. And it filled my heart so much. I almost wanted to cry. Because I was so confused. And it wasn't a lollipop that I threw out. These weren't the brand. It was someone who went above and beyond and just walked over in the middle of me throwing, after I threw out all the candy and I was sitting there. I didn't even have any candy for myself. And they gave me a lollipop. And I received it. Because how many of you givers out here know that someone can give you something, you can take it, and not receive it? Right? Am I the only one that thinks that? Because it's very highly possible. Especially when you're in so used to just giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. But I received it, and I enjoyed it, and I appreciated it. And this is why the importance of, if you're a giver, to put yourself in a situation where you can receive. And if it's something where you receive and you pay for, it's even more beautiful, because you don't have any guilt. And if it's unexpected and you don't have time to have the guilt build up, you just receive it. And let them know, thank you so much, I receive it. Sometimes, and just the simple fact of saying that, it opens up this your heart to actually receive it. And now I know you're thinking, well, Luke, that's three domiciles. Okay, I get it. Okay, so we need to receive. Yes, it's vitally important. But what does it have to do with a one-way ticket? Well, a one-way ticket is because the whole way that I discovered that and so many things that I've discovered, and, well, they're not new, but they were new to me, so that's pretty new, was the need to have courage. The one-way ticket isn't just a one-way ticket. A one-way ticket symbolizes something. What it symbolizes to you is very different than what it'll symbolize to me. And it's something that people, no matter how much money they have, what they have, what they do, a one-way ticket, the one-way ticket is, it's a powerful thing. And it's something I think we all should exercise at some point in our life. Whether it's a one-way ticket to somewhere or it's to a destination unknown with X amount of dollars. I'm going to see, I got $200 and I'm going to fill my tank up with $50. I'm going to drive till I get to about a quarter of a tank, find a place to stay, use the other $50 to stay in a place, and then use the other half of the money to come back. That unknown, I'm telling you, it will scare the life out of some people. We live in a world where you have to understand that you must get to places of unknown, of uncertainty. You know, I think it was Tony Robbins in a program that I took. He said, like, the quality of your life is determined by the amount of uncertainty that you can live with, not survive with, that you can live with. So what's the importance of that, Luke? I don't get it. Like, what do you mean? Like, I mean, you need to get some uncertainty. Some of you are just too certain with everything in your life right now, and that's why you're bored. That's why your energy feels like it's going down. Because everything you've done and everything you're doing, you've done before. And if you haven't done it before, gone to that place before, you've gone to a place similar, and now you just replace the name of the city and maybe name of the hotel, and you're doing the same thing. Some of you all need to take me up on my offer of coming here to Mexico. Let me show you around Mexico for 5 days, and I guarantee you it'll break whatever hypnotic pattern you have of how you think life should be and how life is where you are. It's so important, the uncertainty. And the uncertainty is in a life that is secure, a life that is structured. Uncertainty can sometimes be a very rarity and almost overwhelming for some people. I know people that I'm close with that if you just move their coffee pot over a little bit and misplace something, they're freaking out. You got to be able to live with uncertainty. You know, many of you guys know I was a pro athlete for 12 years, played 13 seasons. Sometimes I played back-to-back seasons when I was younger. And one of the things that I realized, I used to have a routine. You know, everywhere I went, all the places that I went to, I had some kind of routine. I had to find my routine, my cat, my coffee shop, all this. But I had a pregame routine that I always had to do. And then one day, we got late to a game and I didn't have time to do my pregame routine. And I started to freak out in my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm just freaking out completely in my mind because I'm not able to do this routine that I normally do. And because of that, I realized that routine is great, but having a strict routine, like I need to have a 5-minute break to myself away from everyone. I got to sit with a towel over my head. I need to read 5 minutes of a book. I need to, like, and if one of those aren't done, all of a sudden I'm in my mind of like, am I ready? Can I do that? I had to let the routine go. I had to make my simple routine was 3 breaths, close your eyes, enjoy the moment. Know that there's someone out there who's never seen me play basketball before and will never see me play basketball again. And my father gave me a book when I was in college. I think it was No Excuses by Brian Tracy. And inside that book, he wrote 3 lines that I never forgot. He said, believe in God, believe in his will for your life, and play the game. And I would repeat that in my mind 1, 2, 3 times, and I'd go out there and play. And to have that routine, I didn't need a private room. I didn't need a quiet place. I just needed to be alive, standing up, and to have 10 seconds. And I've realized no matter how busy the arena, how much is going on, how many reporters are there, how many, whatever's going on, there's always time to get 10 seconds for me. Even, yes, if that's in the bathroom. So a one-way ticket, though. The courage, the uncertainty, the excitement that comes along with it. Some of you guys need a little bit more excitement. You don't need to have more fun. You just need to think of a little bit more, have a little bit more excitement in your life. And that uncertainty, will do that for you. I think it's one of the things that entrepreneurs, we get so accustomed to is the excitement. Like a paycheck every week bores us in a sense because the excitement makes us feel alive. You know, it's like someone who invests in the S&P 500 and someone who invests in crypto. two different rides. And the final part of this podcast is, and the need to prove. I've seen many people's lives just slowly slow down. And they change because of their need to prove. I think a lot of the pain that we all go through comes from a need to prove. And here's the thing, not even to prove people wrong, but to prove that we were right. And that goes very deep. We're just going to do it for a few seconds here. Just, we'll take you deep so you can see how far this goes. So you can make a wrong decision. There's people who make a wrong decision. And they stay in that situation that they're in because if they were to get out of the situation that they were in, then it would prove that they were wrong in the beginning. I was wrong about that person, and I don't want to be wrong. I thought that I could make it work with this person, so I got to stick with it as long as I can. I'm going to prove it to myself no matter what, even if it kills me, even if it does. The need to prove. And sometimes it's the lack of awareness that we have working with clients. Being a life coach, I love doing this, is to get them to see that you can just change one little thing and it changes everything. One little thing can change everything. Instead of like trying to prove yourself right, how about you prove that you can do the hard thing? Uh-oh. Come on now. What if you just prove that you can do the hard thing? Instead of trying to prove you're right. Well, I've invested all this money with this person. I've invested all this time. What if you just prove you can do the right thing? The hard thing. The scary thing. What if you go to prove yourself that, hey, I can get out of this no matter what. Because I'm strong enough to do it. I'm powerful enough to do it. You know, sometimes we don't really. I think it was Warren Buffett who said something along the lines of like, the chains of habits are too weak to be felt until they're too strong to be broken. He said something along the lines of that. Meaning we can stay in a situation for such a long time, trying to prove I'm right, and then you just forget it, and then by then you develop something so strong that you end up not changing because of how deep you're in without even realizing it. You know, you have to understand, guys, there's some people who have been in for pain for so long that it don't bother them no more. How crazy is that? Like waking up with your back hurting is just life. Your definition of life has just changed. Your definition of sitting down and getting up has just changed. You know, as a pro athlete, after I was about probably 22 years old, every year after I turned 22, I believe, it took me like a half a step more in the morning to be able to walk, like, smoothly and simply. Like, just took a little bit longer. By the time I was 32 playing, it was like, I can still play, I feel fine, but those mornings, I just need about, you know, 5 or 6 seconds to take a few steps before I can start walking normal. You know, it's almost like I get up and I just go through time. You know, how people talk about the Neanderthals and people like this and how they, that evolution of man, they say, you know, I don't really believe in that, but, you know, they have those pictures of it, like him a monkey and he turned and he said, that's me in the mornings. That was me in the mornings. That was my normal. And it was crazy because after I stopped playing basketball professionally, after about 4 or 5 months, my whole body started to change. Like, I could get up in the morning, nothing hurt really. Like, there was no, like, pain. Like, maybe my back's a little sore or something, arm sore, slept weird. But no, like, oh my goodness, everything's hurting. And it was just a weird, my whole definition of what it means to feel good changed. And if you stay in the same situation, what happens is you don't notice it. Your baseline just becomes so simple of just like, you know, if I can get up in the morning and, you know, go down those steps and have my coffee, you know, I'll be blessed. And that is a nice way to look at it. I love the gratitude there. But what if life could be just a little bit more better than that? A little bit more smooth and sweeter than that? What if you could wake up and have just so much energy, more than when you went to sleep? Can you just think about the concept of waking up tired? Like, if you're going to wake up tired, what was the point to go to sleep? You might as well stay awake. You might as well just stay awake all night. That's why I don't even stress anymore about if I need to stay up all night. Or I had to go the other day and take someone to the airport. Like, what am I stressing for? Because I'm going to be tired all day? There's times when I wake up and I'm still tired. I'm not going to lie. And there's other times where I don't sleep really well at all. I sleep a few hours, 3-4 hours, and I got something on my mind. I got to create something, write something, read something. And I feel great the rest of the day. Heart's full. So we say all this because if you can combine these things, the $3 massage, the one-way ticket, the need to not have to prove something, which can be hard, but if you change what you need to prove, prove that you can improve your life every day. Prove that you can be bigger than the people around you. Prove that you can stick with it even if it gets harder than you think. Just a few little things you guys can shift in your day, in your life, and what you're doing, and I guarantee you that not only will your life change, but everything around your life will change. Because as we talked about a few days ago, or maybe it's not up yet, and I didn't post that video yet, but by us changing, everything naturally does change. One of my favorite examples is people who don't walk a lot. You know, because you get to this point where you're like, well, I just can't walk that much. But I guarantee you, if I took you to Paris, if I took you to Barcelona, if I took you to Rome, if I took you to Riga, if I took you to Sweden, if I took you to Australia, I took you to, maybe not Asia because they got a lot of dogs in the street, but, you know, not sidewalks everywhere. But I could take you to some of these places and I bet you'd be so impressed that you would walk around all day. You'd walk all day. I could take you to Disney World, but you'd walk around all day. In that heat, you would hate it, but you would still walk around. So sometimes it's the environment that can be the difference between everything. So what if you went to prove that, you know, I'm not going to let the environment affect who I am and what I do? You know, I used to say I don't really like to go out in the rain. And that was true for my whole life until I spent a summer in Poland. And I realized if I can't do anything in the rain, then I might as well just stay inside all day while I was in Poland during that summer. I'll never forget it. The little changes we make can make all the difference. Little by little. It doesn't have to be big. But little by little. Receive a little something. Give yourself a little something that's just for you to receive. Do one thing that you're uncertain about, but you do it anyways because of who you're going to become and who you have to become to do it. And then the last part is to remember that you can just change what it is that you have to prove. You don't have to prove that person wrong. You don't have to prove yourself right. Maybe you have to prove that you'll just stick with it no matter what. You'll prove that you believe that one day it will work out. And watch how things change quicker than you can imagine. So from here in the podcast, I see you guys on Tuesday with another episode. Or excuse me, no, not Tuesday. I'll see you on Monday with another episode. We might have a little bonus episodes coming in, but right now we're being consistent with two. If we can do a third or a fourth or a bonus, whatever that is, we'll do it. But I'll see you for sure on Monday, bright and early, with another episode from here in the podcast. See y'all soon. Be blessed.